Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome our visitors that we have. We have quite a few visiting with us today. We're glad that you took time out of your schedule to come and worship our God together with us. If you would, turn to John the 11th chapter. John the 11th chapter. We're going to look at an account today of the resurrection of Lazarus. Wednesday nights, we've been studying the book of John. And not too long ago, we ran across this account of the raising of Lazarus. What an amazing an account of Jesus' power, of the love that he had for a family, the impact that he would have on many due to the raising of Lazarus. We're going to start off with verses 1 through 5, and this is it, the story starts out with Lazarus is sick. We don't know exactly from the scripture what illness he had. We know from the scripture that it ended in his death, but that he is sick. And I would like to call Kurt up to read verses 1 through 5. Kurt.
Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, you know the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus.
Amen.
It's amazing to me how God's word is so rich and powerful that in just a couple of verses, just five verses, we get an abundance of information. One, we see that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. We look at the account where Jesus had been in their home before and teaching, and how Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha was up opening her home, serving. And so Jesus is no stranger to these people. He loved them. The man, through the Holy Spirit, that is recording this event, the Apostle John, also is portrayed numerous times as the disciple that Jesus loved. And here we see that Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. And it is also interesting that with their brother sick, very sick, what do? They send to Jesus for help. Isn't that the first response of many of us? When we encounter things in our lives, sickness, mishaps, trials, tribulations, that we turn to Jesus. And that's exactly what Mary and Martha did. They've got a brother that is gravely ill. They turn to the biggest and the greatest source that they could. And they send for Jesus. This next passage verses 6 through 16, Jesus hears that Lazarus is sick. And he delays. That's the first time I read that, I kind of thought, that's a little odd that he would delay in coming to them. But he delays in coming to them. And I'd like to call Devin up. He's going to read verses 6 through 16 for us.
So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. You're going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him."
So Jesus delays in going to Mary and Martha's request. We don't know exactly what was sent in the message to Jesus. Undoubtedly, it is something to the effect, "Our brother Lazarus is gravely ill. Come running. Come help. We need you." The first impulse would have been to drop what you're doing and to get there as fast as possible, to do what you can to help in this situation. But Jesus delayed 2 days on purpose. Some of the things we see in this, Jesus was focused on the glory of God. The human part of Jesus would have wanted nothing more than to get there as fast as he could, to drop everything, and to get there to people that he loved, to share this time with them, to help, and you know he can do anything. He could have eased Lazarus' suffering. He could have eased the heartache that Mary and Martha were going through by making Lazarus well. He delayed and waited on purpose. Why? For the glory of God to be revealed. Just two chapters earlier, in chapter 9, we see the disciples and Jesus going by a blind man. And they make a comment, "Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents?" And Jesus used that opportunity to teach them, neither one had sinned for that man to be blind. He was born blind that the glory of God may be revealed through him. Through him. And Jesus is using this opportunity, the illness of Lazarus, to reveal the glory of God. He had to wait. This will be the greatest event that Jesus had done to date. He has healed people. He has shown his power over nature, over the water. He has turned water to wine. He has healed a blind man. He has healed lame. And now there is a man that he's going to raise from the dead. He waited on purpose where he does not show up to help break a man's fever. He doesn't strengthen a man that's just ill. That has been done naturally in life numerous times by people. That has been done through the hands of doctors countless times of people. But he delays 2 days for Lazarus to die, to show, I just not only made him well, I raised him from the dead. And he reveals that Lazarus is dead. He reveals this to the disciples from afar. He reveals to them, he's talking in terms, you know, Lazarus sleeps, this and that, and they kind of bolsters their, and, you know, encourages them. That Lazarus, well, if he's sleeping, he'll get better. Guys, he's dead. I don't know how much plainer I have to make it for you. He's dead. He does this from afar, showing his power of knowledge. And he enlightens the disciples yet again that Lazarus is dead. This also shows the consequence, that there may be consequences for following Jesus. Thomas brings up the fact, you want to go back here? They threatened to stone you the last time. You nearly got out of there with your life. You know, they almost killed you last time, Jesus. And now you want to go back? He's going back, one, to raise his friend and to show the glory of God. And Thomas says, well, let us go with him too, that we might die together with him. There may be consequences for following Jesus. There, in fact, it's a little forewarning. It's not going to take place when he goes back there, that the disciples would die, his followers. But all of those 12 apostles will die a violent death except John. They will die a martyr's death. Judas kills himself. But there are consequences for following Jesus. It's not always easy. Thomas makes the proclamation, well, let us go with you, even though it's dangerous. We're going with you, and if we have to, we'll die too. There's consequences for that. The next passage, verses 17 through 37, is that Jesus arrives on the scene after delaying. Mary and Martha, they send messengers, go find Jesus. Tell him Mary and Martha needs him, that Lazarus is dead. He delays, and now he arrives. And I'd like to call Preston up to read this passage for us.
So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she had heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Amen. She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." When she had said this, she went away and called Mary her sister, saying correctly, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying?"
Thank you, Preston. What a wonderful passage. In this passage, we see that Mary and Martha have great confidence in Jesus. When they heard that he was coming, they went out and met him. And they both say basically the same thing. "We know that if you would have been here, you could have saved him. We know that." And Jesus is being given the opportunity to show so much more power of God than just saving somebody from being ill. He's going to show that he's going to save them from death. And they have this confidence in Jesus of his power, that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. And those are actually separate things. You can have power. The apostles later on would show that they had power. John the Baptist had a following, had some power at his disposal. But he wasn't the Christ. Made no bones about it. They're making the proclamation not only of the confidence in his power, but that he is the Christ, the Messiah. And as a result of that, he is the Son of God. And they're making it known. These are not high and mighty Pharisees. They're not apostles. They're Mary and Martha. And it goes to show us, lowly us, that by having that confidence and making that proclamation, the power in it, they know that he can raise them from the dead. And Jesus responds, "I am the resurrection." They make the proclamation, "Yeah, we know that he will rise, you know, on the day of judgment." Jesus says, "No, I am the resurrection." And it shows that Jesus was human and that he loved them. It's hard to explain. I think it's easier for us to understand than it is to explain. How Jesus was 100% deity, but he was also 100% human. He cried, he wept, he was sorrowful. He was saddened at their sadness. He was God, but yet he was man also. And he had that emotion. There's nothing that we can go through that God and Jesus don't understand. Genesis 1:26, where it says, "Let us make man in our image." God understands us, knows what we go through, the heartache, the trials, the sadness when we lose somebody. We cannot tell God, but God, you don't understand. When God is telling us through His Word, you've got to pick up your chin and keep going. Regardless of what life deals out to you. We cannot say, "But God, you don't understand. You didn't lose somebody close to you." Excuse me? I gave you my son. Don't tell me I don't understand. Jesus, when he was on earth, he gets it. I can't explain how he's God and man. I understand it. I trust it. It's easier to understand than it is to explain. Wonderful passage. This next passage, he resurrects Lazarus. And I'd like to call on Jory to read verses 38 through 44.
Jesus, therefore, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And so they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou heardest me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people standing around, I said it, that they may believe that thou didst send me." And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." He who had died some came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go."
Thank you. We see before Jesus does the greatest act so far in his life is raising somebody from the dead. It's one thing healing sick people, although other people couldn't. It's one thing healing a blind man, but now healing, bringing somebody back from the dead. That was his delay. To where, had he been there, he would have healed somebody that was sick. Now, there's no doubt he's dead. He's been dead 4 days. There is no doubt. He's not just unconscious. He's dead. Jesus prays to God. We see what an example the apostles had, that before Jesus does this action, this event, this miraculous action, what does he do? He goes to God in prayer. And he thanks God that you hear me. You always hear me, God. That's a prayer that each one of us could make. Thank you, God, for hearing me. You always hear me. And he goes on. and he calls Lazarus from the dead. They're worried. Okay, he's been in there 4 days. It's gonna stink a little bit. I know. That's the purpose. There's no doubt of what I'm doing. And they roll the stone away, and he calls out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he does. He does. Showing Jesus' power as God. This last passage, we see the results of the resurrection of Lazarus. And I'd like to call Garfield up to read verses 45 through 57.
Reading from the King James Version. "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, 'What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation.' And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, 'Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one of the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, 'What think ye, that he will not come to the feast?' Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him."
We see the results of the actions that Jesus had done through the raising of Lazarus. Just like the scripture reading that Chris had today, at the end of the book of John, John reveals that there's many other things that Jesus did that aren't written down. But these are written down that you may believe. That you may believe that Jesus is God's Son. That is coming true here. The result of Jesus raising Lazarus, it says, many believed as a result of this. They saw his power. But there were some other results too. Not everybody had a positive result. The Pharisees and the chief priest, they plot to kill Jesus. I don't get that one. Some people had the natural result, we believe in Jesus as the Son of God, what he just did. The result to the chief priests and the Pharisees, well, we got to kill him. He's taking away our power. Well, you know, we can't deal with this anymore. We've tried to trap him. We've tried to get him to put him in a corner verbally with arguments. That's come to nothing. There's nothing else to do. And from that time on, they plotted to kill Jesus. And the results of this, they plotted to kill Lazarus. In the next chapter, we see that they plotted to kill Lazarus. Discredit Jesus because people were wanting to see Lazarus. Well, if we'll put him to death again, we'll kill Lazarus. That will pull the rug out from Jesus that he didn't have any power. Now, it didn't happen this way. We kind of talked in Bible class about this. Wouldn't it have been funny? They kill Lazarus and Jesus just raises him again. It didn't happen, but Jesus had the power to have done that. To take the power of death away from us. This is a wonderful account. The lesson is yours. It's amazing the power that just a few verses can have. One chapter out of the Bible, what it can reveal to us. It reveals that Jesus is the Son of God. And that by believing in Him, we have life in His name. He is the resurrection. If you are baptized, a baptized believing member of the kingdom, we will enjoy a resurrection at the end. But you have to be baptized. Yeah, Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. If you're not baptized, we urge you to do so. If you would like to, if you would like to engage in further Bible study with us, if you're a visitor and would like to study more about the Bible, we have plenty of people that would be more than willing to study with you. If you need prayers of the congregation, we have prayer request cards in the seat pocket there in your aisle. If you need prayers of the congregation, we saw Jesus go to His Father in prayer. We will go to our Father in prayer on your behalf. If you have sin in your life, if that is keeping you from Jesus, if that is separating you from God and being in obedience to God's word, repent. Don't let that sin separate you. Whatever your need, if you will come forward, let your need be known. We will address those for you as we stand and sing the invitation that Daryl has picked out. Let's stand and sing.